This classic episode of the Children's Bible Hour is from 1988.
Hi, everybody. It's time for another visit with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour. Uncle Charlie.
Hi, Uncle Charlie.
It's that time again, a time for friends to get together. I hope that you think of us as your friends, and I sure hope you can spend the next 30 minutes or so with an ear bent in our direction. Hey, we've got some good music lined up. Mary Beth has a poem called What If? And then, of course, as always, we'll wind things up with a good story. It's called Almost Is Lost, and it's all about this boy who is promised a horse if he does his best in school. And so when he doesn't study the way he ought to, Hey, wait a minute. If I say anything more, I'll be giving away the ending. So if you want to find out what happens to Ted, you'll be sure to stick around. Our cousins are starting out with two songs that have the same idea. One is rather new, one is an old-timer. Let's hear the new one first. It's called Seeing Everything New.
I'm seeing
for the old-timer with the same message. Things are different now.
Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be.
Now, don't get the wrong idea. When you trust Christ as Savior, boys and girls, that doesn't mean that everything is always fun and games and you're never sad anymore and you never have any problems or cares or troubles. But you have someone who will go through the times of trouble with you. That someone is Jesus. But you know something? If we really stop and think about it, we take so many of our blessings for granted. Hey, what if God charged us for the sunshine? What if God sent us a bill for the pretty song of the birds? What if... Hey, wait a minute. That's the name of Mary's poem. Let's hear it right now. It's called What If?
Suppose we mortals had to pay to see the sunset end our day, or watch the stars of the Milky Way. Suppose it cost us every night to watch the fair moon's silvery light, or see a gull in its graceful flight. Suppose God charged us for the rain, or put a price on the songbird's strain, or the waving stalks of golden grain. Suppose we paid to see the hills, or look at rippling mountain rills, or to hear the song of the whippoorwills. How much does God ask us to pay for baby's smile and happy play? Just suppose God charged us for these, I say. I'm sure our great God would be pleased if at night on bended knees we would give thanks for all of these.
One of the, well, the best blessings God gives us is the fact that He talks to us through His Word, the Bible. Carl has put together a medley of songs about the precious treasure that is ours in God's Word.
Psalm 119, verse 11 and 105. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. And so we travel together, my Bible. Precious treasure, thou art mine, mine to tell me where I came, mine to teach me what I am. Yes, God's word is faithful, yes, His word is true. We find God's word in the Bible, real treasure for me and for you. Yes, God's word is faithful. Word is true. We find God's word in the Bible, real treasure for me and for you. Oh, you can trust God's word is true for me and you. Wherever we go, whatever we do, if we obey God's word, we will live happily. For God's word will set us free. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's a book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, the B-I-B-L-E. Let's read it faithfully, a treasure given for you and me, the B-I-B-L-E. And so we travel together, my Bible and I.
While we're thinking about God's Word, let's hear from Melissa with a song about Jesus and what He did while He was here on this earth.
When our Lord was here, our Savior dear, He glad on each neighborhood. For the Bible tells, the message spells, He went about doing good. He went about doing good and helping where He could. Our example is He, in the kingdom we should be, who went about doing good. It was love revealed when the lame He healed, the blinded ones made to see.
I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. John 13, verse 15.
It's the week we hear from our three nieces, and Mary Beth, Lisa Sue, and Becky have a good song ready. It's a quiet, thoughtful song that tells us Jesus is still going about doing good, even though he is no longer right here on earth. We can go to him with all our troubles, all our problems, all of our cares, and he will welcome us with his open arms. Listen.
As a bird and band to have me, do you long for peace and rest? Let his arms come close about you. Lay your head upon his breast. His open
Are you using Keys for Kids? You aren't? Well, you're really missing something wonderful. Now, I'm not saying that just because we publish it. I'm saying that because that's what others tell us. Keys for Kids is our daily devotional designed to be read to or by boys and girls of school age. There's a story for every day, a suggested scripture reading, a how about you section where you can apply what you read to your own life, a verse to memorize, and a key phrase for the day. It's all free for the asking. Oh, help with printing and postage is appreciated, but not necessary. So write and ask for Keys for Kids, and we'll send it out to you. Get your letter in the mail this week for sure. Here's where to write. Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's Uncle Charlie or Children's Bible Hour, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The zip is 49501. Well, are you still wondering what happens to Ted in our story called Almost Is Lost? You won't have to wait much longer to find out. Right after Dawn sings our good Go Along With the Story song, we will find out. Listen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him?
Time.
Our story today, written especially for the Children's Bible Hour by Harry C. Trover, is entitled, almost is lost.
Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Arnold. Oh, yes, Miss Gray, you're Ted's teacher. Yes? Well, I wondered. I thought it was time for report cards. No, Ted didn't bring his home, and I didn't sign it. I never saw it. I'm afraid so. He must have signed it himself. Yes, something will have to be done. Tell me, did you let him know you suspected him of signing my name to that report card? Good. That's fine. He thinks he got away with it, so I'll catch him off guard. I think I hear Ted on the front porch, and I don't want him to hear us talking. I'll call you later.
Mother!
Yes, I'll call you tomorrow. Goodbye, and thanks for calling.
Hi, Mom. Who are you talking to?
Oh, a lady I know. How did things go at school today?
Swell, like a breeze.
Looks like a lot of homework under your arm. You'd better get your studying done before supper.
Oh, Mom, I'll study later. The guys are waiting for me to play ball tonight. I'm the pitcher, and I gotta be there.
Did it ever occur to you to say that you have studying to do and that the ball game will have to wait? Don't your studies ever come first?
There you go again. I'm getting along all right.
We were just talking about that very thing when you came in. This lady was telling me about a boy she knows who won't do his schoolwork.
See, I'm not the only one who waits to study.
Yes, but do you know what this boy did one time?
What?
He didn't do his work, so when he got his report card, it was full of low marks. And instead of bringing that report card home, he signed his mother's name to it and took it back to school. She found out about it later. Now, what do you think of a boy who'd do a thing like that, Ted?
Well, I guess some people would call him a cheat.
A liar, too, maybe? Anything said or done with intent to deceive is a lie, you know.
You don't think much of such a fella, do you? Who were you talking to on the phone?
Miss Gray, your teacher.
Oh, and whose mother was it?
Your mother.
You mean me?
You.
Wow, we stand here talking about this boy, and all the time it's me.
You did forge my name to your report card, didn't you?
Why, no, not exactly. That is, I mean...
Careful now. You're in deep enough. Don't make it worse.
Well, yes. I did sign your name. But honest, I didn't mean anything by it. I just figured you were too busy to bother, so I signed it for you to save you the trouble.
That isn't a very good excuse, is it?
Not very. I'm sorry, Mom. I'll never do it again. Honest.
But you did it this time, didn't you? We're going to have to punish you for this, Ted. Your father and I'll discuss it when he gets home. And in the meantime, you can forget the ball game for tonight and get busy with your homework.
Aw, Mom!
We'll talk more about it after supper.
Ted's parents discussed the problem and decided upon a fitting punishment for his actions. They also talked to him about working harder at doing a good job on his schoolwork. And he assured them that he was determined to do better.
Mom, Dad, I'm gonna do better. I really am.
That's the spirit. That's the way I like to hear you talk.
One more thing, son. You know that Mom and I have been thinking about getting a horse for you. However, we think you should do a little to earn it. Now, we will not get it for you unless you pass this year. We know from past experience that you're capable of doing good work and passing. So we expect you to do it.
Wow. Now I've got to pass. I've just got to pass. I've wanted a horse for so long.
Ted made the dust fly on his books for a while. But as spring moved into the first warm days of early summer, he found it harder and harder to study, and he did less and less homework. His grades began to drop again, and he began to worry that he might not get that horse after all. Then he figured out a way to bring the grades back up without even studying. After school one day, Ted made a telephone call while his mother was out planting flowers in the garden.
Hey, Tom, what are you doing?
Oh, I've got lots of homework tonight.
That's what I should be doing, too. Listen, I can't talk long. Mom's out in the yard, and I'm supposed to be studying. You were saying today that you wanted to ride my horse when I get it, right? Well, I decided to let you ride it.
Oh, thanks, Ted. That would be a blast.
But there's a catch. If I don't pass, Mom and Dad won't get me the horse.
Well, is that a problem? You're gonna pass, aren't you?
I don't know. I'm not doing so good.
Maybe they'll change their minds.
Not a chance. If my folks say I have to pass to get it, that's what they mean. Look, in 2 days we're going to have some tests, and I don't know beans about anything. So, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you ride my horse every day if you'll give me the answers to the test questions in class.
How can we get away with that?
Nobody will catch on. You sit right in front of me, you know. All you need to do is write big and keep the paper over to the side where I can see it. Will you do it?
Well, I guess I can.
Okay, it's a deal then. You let me have the answers, and I'll let you ride my horse all you want. You're a real pal, Tom. Hey, Mom is coming in. I gotta go. See ya.
But the next day, Tom wasn't in school. So after classes were over, Ted walked home with the girl who sat next to him. He bought some candy and shared it with her as they walked along.
Hey, this candy is really good, but you're not eating much. Do you want some more?
No, I don't feel very good.
Maybe you're going to get sick like Tom did. Miss Gray says Tom might be out of school a week or even more.
I know.
He sits in front of you, doesn't he? Maybe you're catching what he's got.
Nah, I'm not really sick. But I sure am sorry that he won't be sitting in front of me when I take the test tomorrow.
Why?
Oh, nothing. Here, have some more candy.
Thanks.
Look, Sally, I've always had trouble with my test. I was wondering, would you mind helping me tomorrow? You could put your paper where I could see it. That way I could get some of the answers I don't know.
Ted! That's cheating. I couldn't do that.
Why not?
You heard what Miss Gray said this afternoon. Anyone who is caught cheating will get a failing grade. If she found out, both of us would fail. No, I'm not gonna do that.
Ted ran home. He got out his books and he began to cram and cram. He studied so late that when he got to school the next morning, he could hardly hold his head up because he was so tired. His mind was so foggy. He could hardly tell one question from another.
Oh, Ted, this final report card says you failed.
I'm sorry, Mom. I only failed by a couple of points, though. I tried, but I guess I started trying too late.
Well, that means no horse for you this summer.
But, Mom, Miss Gray says if I do good in summer school, I should be able to catch up. So can't I still have the horse? I told you I'm sorry, and I'll work really hard. I finally learned my lesson. I promise.
Good, good. But it's still too late to make any difference as far as getting a horse this summer.
But I almost passed.
Son, almost is not enough. Almost is lost. And you've lost out on your reward.
But...
There's an even more important lesson here, Ted. Your mother and I have been concerned about you. All your life you've attended church and Sunday school. You've learned a lot of Bible verses. You take part in church activities. But our question is, have you been born again? Are you really saved, Ted? You see, being saved is something like Well, something like making a passing grade. It's not enough to almost make it.
That's right, Ted. If you don't personally accept Jesus as your Savior, you'll be lost. No matter how many good things you've done, you've got to pass God's exam 100%, or you're lost.
What do you mean?
In Romans 3:23, it says that everyone has sinned and come short of what God requires. To come short means to fail, to miss the mark. God knew we couldn't save ourselves, so he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior. Christ is the only one who doesn't miss God's mark. When we trust Christ as personal Savior, we pass God's exam. But if we fail to trust Christ, we fail to receive the reward, salvation, and eternity spent with God in heaven.
I guess maybe you're right. I really know all that, but I never thought about it much. I just figured I was okay. I do want to become a Christian.
Well, then that's an answer to our prayer, son. Let's get the Bible, and I'll show you again how you can be saved. Are you almost a Christian? Well, then you aren't. You can't almost be a Christian any more than you can almost be a boy or almost be a girl. Now, how do you become a Christian? A, admit that you are a sinner and cannot save yourself. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead for you. Believe he took your place. C, confess your sins to the Lord and ask him to come into your heart and life. If you need more help, write to me. Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's Uncle Charlie or Children's Bible Hour, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The zip is 49501. Goodbye now.